This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We usually think of ghosting as something that happens in modern dating. You're texting someone and suddenly, crickets, radio silence. But what happens when the person who ghosts you is a close friend, a family member, or someone you've known for decades? Well, it's more common than you might think, and the emotional toll can be even deeper. Well, joining us is Megan Willis, Associate Professor in the School of Behavioural and Health Sciences at the ACU, to help us navigate the hurt and confusion of being ghosted. Megan, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the term ghosting. What does it mean exactly, and what happens between friends or family members when it does occur?
Yeah, so ghosting is defined as when someone abruptly or gradually cuts off all communication without explanation. So whether it's, you know, in a romantic setting where we often hear people talk about ghosting, or if it's with a friend or family member, the signs are much the same. So, you know, messages left on read, calls ignored, sometimes people will be blocked. So, you know, the way it manifests is much the same regardless of the nature of the relationship.
The thing I don't like about this is it's almost as though you're denied closure, aren't you, or the reason as to why they've decided to remove themselves from the relationship. What goes on in terms of our processing? Is it like someone's passed away almost?
Yeah, that's right. So when someone is ghosted, what is pretty typical is that they'll feel grief-like emotions, much like you would with the death of a loved one. So it might start off with feeling kind of an initial shock, and then you'll experience anger and sadness. But what's kind of unique about ghosting is that it has this kind of form of ambiguous loss. So there's uncertainty and that lack of closure, and that can really kind of freeze the grief process, so people can find it really difficult to move on because of that lack of closure and not really understanding necessarily what's going on.
How do you move on from a situation where you are stuck and you don't have the information that ordinarily would allow us to move on? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, and the thing I guess people in this having this experience need to recognise is that you're probably not going to get the answers that you're seeking. So what we find when people have been ghosted is that they tend to ruminate, so they can become quite fixated on, you know, understanding why it happened or why they did this, and that really kind of keeps you stuck in those difficult emotions. So in terms of kind of what are some strategies for people if they've been ghosted, one thing that's really important is to recognise that, you know, grief-like emotions like shock and anger and sadness are really normal emotional reactions to being ghosted. So, you know, acknowledging how you're feeling is important, and talking about those feelings with, you know, your social support system, so friends and family, is useful just to help make sense of the experience. Instead of kind of focusing on why this happened, it's really important to kind of focus on what do I need to do to heal. So, you know, we know that self-care activities like mindfulness, exercising, getting out in nature are really helpful for mental health, and also practicing self-compassion. So really treating yourself as you would a friend is really important at times like this, and it can really reduce rumination and is associated with better mental health outcomes.
Continue.
Yeah, the other thing that can be helpful for some people is trying to write a letter to express how you're feeling that you don't send to the person, but that helps you kind of process your emotions and make sense of the experience. So trying to really create your own closure by using expressive writing can also be helpful.
Megan, it's quite cruel, isn't it? As we're talking, I'm thinking it's likely that the person who's done the ghosting is just getting on with their life, but the person who's being ghosted is left in this state of rumination and grief. It's really unfair.
Yeah, I think, you know, interestingly, when, you know, the research that has been done on people who ghost is often they'll kind of say one of the motivations is to spare the other person, like, the pain of rejection, but it's much worse for people on the receiving end, because they're just, you know, they experience the rejection, but then they have this lack of closure, which can make it that much worse than, you know, a typical relationship dissolving.
If we've given some advice or received some advice on you on what we can do if we've been ghosted, what advice would you give to someone who is the ghoster themselves?
Yeah, I think it's important, I guess, for people that have ghosted or are thinking of doing that, is to kind of really reflect on what their reasons are for ghosting. Like, is it about avoidance? Are they feeling overwhelmed? Do they not know how to have that conversation? And so, you know, often just talking to friends or family about how to manage relationships might give you ideas for how to navigate it. But I guess it's important for people that are thinking about ghosting or that have, is to really reflect on the impact it has on the person left behind, and that, you know, while it might be intended to spare them pain, it really does the opposite. And yeah, I think it's, you know, it doesn't take a lot to, you know, at the bare minimum, send someone a message, right? So they have the answer. Because what can happen when people are ghosted is the initial thought might be that something terrible's happened to the person. So, you know, just giving someone, even if people don't feel safe kind of having a conversation, talking about the reason that they don't want to be in the friendship or relationship anymore, just saying, this isn't for me, so they're not left wondering what's going on, which that can be part of the early stages of ghosting for the person on the receiving end, is, you know, thinking that something bad may have happened to the other person, which can, you know, be incredibly distressing.
I was ghosted a few years ago by, you know, an intimate partner, and the reason it turns out I was ghosted is because it turns out I didn't know, but this intimate partner was married. But I didn't know that at the time and was ghosted. And I went through a range of emotions. And in the end, I sort of landed on this anger of how dare they. You know, I went through, I was blaming myself, what happened? And then when I realised, how dare they do that to someone that they supposedly cared for? And one of the things that I did was reach out to my friends, who were great sort of echoes of what's been going on around me. Is it important that people do reach out to their friends when they've been ghosted?
Yeah, definitely. So we know that social support is really associated with, you know, a range of mental health benefits. So, you know, I guess if you've been ghosted by a friend, say, it's really important to connect yourself with the friends that you do have. So you realise, you know, this person may have chosen to do that, but I do have these other friends. And good friends, you know, if your self-worth's taken a bit of a hit, they're going to help build you up again and help you recognise, well, you know, you might not know why this other person has done it, but it's likely to do with a reason related to themselves and not you.
In terms of, I suppose, getting that closure, what does it look like when you haven't got any answers, and you probably never will get any? How do you, I suppose, go about creating your own closure without the information? Because I can imagine that potentially you can fill in the dots and you may not be filling in the puzzle correctly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more about not kind of trying to answer the why, but think about acceptance and moving on. So, you know, creating your closure is, you know, this happened, it's made me feel, you know, angry and sad and confused, but I accept that this is the choice that you've made. It's not a respectful or kind choice, but now I'm going to move on. So I think it's really just about kind of articulating your experience and then focusing on how you kind of accept what's happened and move on with your life.
Megan, really important conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today on Drive.
Thanks.
Thank you. That was Associate Professor Megan Willis from the School of Behavioural and Health Sciences at the Australian Catholic University.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.